Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. We want to welcome those of you who just logged on to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you live from Metron in beautiful historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, give the podcast people a big hand. Tell them that we appreciate them being there. If you don't, those of you who are listening to me, if you don't do podcasts, there's probably an app already on your smartphone, and whatever, most of them are free. This one's free. And the great thing about it is if you start using that app, it will show you kind of what's on deck, what you haven't listened to. And podcasts are great when you're riding your car. If you want to plug in your smartphone and listen to them, you can take Metron with you if you're not watching the video on YouTube. My title of the series for this month is, this is from the 90s, Free Your Mind and the Rest Will Follow. Who was it that sang that? In Vogue. Free. You know, they're still traveling. They're still together. They still have a huge following. That particular song was specifically about racism, but I think there's even a broader meaning to it. I just love that phrase. Once you free your mind, the rest of everything you need will follow. And I want to continue it by talking about healthy thinking and prospering as your soul prospers. Of course, prospering as your soul prospers is from 3 John verse 2, where he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And as we get through the month, I'll get more into that verse. But for today, I want to specifically look at a particular verse. I've talked about it before. It's just one of my favorites. There's something about this thing that Paul said that just has a glory on it for me. The Bible says a lot about, the Bible writers say a lot about how you think. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Paul wrote to the Romans and he says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This one he wrote to the Ephesians, and Paul was really at his best when he wrote to the Ephesians. Hebrews, if he wrote Hebrews, or Ephesians, is, in my opinion, his best work. But in Ephesians 4:23, it's the verse that says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I like the way he says that, because what he's saying there is that your mind has a spirit to it. Your mind has an attitude. It's not just a thought. It's how you think about things. When I lost that $50 bill, I started to get down on myself for a minute. Be mad at myself. Like, why are you so careless with cash? I'm not used to carrying cash. And I had cash with me. Like, you shouldn't be this careless. And then I thought, it's not going to change anything thinking this way, so I've got to change the way that I think about it. You can train yourself to be proactive. You can train yourself to have a good response to things. It's not being in denial. It's not being a Pollyanna. It's not sticking your head in the sand. It's just training the spirit of your mind that you always expect the best. You always look for the silver lining on the cloud. You always believe that even if you're wrestling with the angel, you won't let the angel go until it blesses you. Whether that story about Jacob was literal or not, the point is, Jacob said, I'm in a fight with you. I won't let you go till you bless me. Ken had a fender bender the other day. It wasn't his fault. College student from Georgia Tech ran into him. He's had a little bit of a kerfuffle with, you know, her denying what she did. You know, the usual stuff that people go through. And I said, a blessing will come out of this. I don't know how, but it will. Wrestle with the angel until the angel blesses you. That's the way you should feel about everything that comes to you. Say, all right, whatever, I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to grapple with it until I find the blessing in it. I'm going to seek first the kingdom. I don't see where the kingdom is in this thing, but I'm going to look for it until I find it. So when we talk about the spirit of your mind, we're talking about how you think. And the reason I'm talking about healthy thinking is, I'm not against doctors. I believe in doctors. I love my doctor. But I also know that you can go to the Mayo Clinic. You can have the best doctors in the world. If you're not thinking right, your own thoughts are much more deadly to you than any virus, any contagion. Thoughts are the most, and thoughts and words, because words are actually the manifestation of thoughts, so it really goes back to thoughts. You have to think healthily. The thing I'm happy, I mean, I have a ways to go, but I've lost about 18 pounds. And I, you know, since we've had Metron, I've gone up and down. You know what I mean? It's like you can look through the pic, go to the blog, look at the pictures. Like, oh, you put on a few. And, you know, after a certain age, your metabolism changes, and you have to change the way you think about food, the way you think about exercise, things that you did at 25 you can't do at 60. It's just a different time. What I'm happiest about is not the weight I've lost or, you know, my body getting where it needs to be. It's that I can tell my thinking's where it needs to be. That's what I'm the happiest about. Because what I'm dealing with, food, whatever, it's not a struggle. I want to eat healthy. Like right now, the thought of eating junk food or processed food sounds grotesque to me. And I'm glad that it does, because my thinking has changed. Because when you're not thinking right, nothing sounds better to me than a Big Mac. I mean, I'm telling you, there's something about it. When I'm in that thought process, there's ways that we've self-medicated with food. You know, if you're feeling a certain way, there's the salty way, those French fries, you know, whatever. Like, even just me talking about it right now, it seems disgusting to me. And that's what I'm happy about. Like, oh, wow, my thoughts have changed. I think differently about food. I want to feed my body and not my belly. And that's just a different thought. And it's not just about, why is that funny? What you laughing at? What? You know it's true. You know I eat right. You live with me. Then what are you laughing at? Don't make me have Wellington take you out. This is what it says in the Living Bible. I love these. I'm going to show you several different translations, because this is a way I've always loved to meditate on the scriptures, is look at what different translations say about it, because between all of those you can find little nuggets of meaning that really make a difference. Here it says, now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Remember that commercial that said, you're not getting older, you're getting better? That should be the truth for everybody. Every year that you get older, you should be smarter, you should love life more. Aging should be a good thing. You've learned how to be yourself. The more mature you become, the less subject you are to peer pressure. You don't really care what people think. You care what makes you happy. A good thing about aging is you know what works for you, you know what doesn't work for you, you know what you like, you know what you don't like. Those are good things. I loved being a young man. I like being where I am now. I like being a mature man. It's like to me, aging is me getting better, is me being more a greater manifestation of who I was supposed to be. We all were supposed to have been somebody, but we don't always live up to that potential. And so I like this. I like the idea of changing for the better. The second thing I want to show you is that this is a relatively new Bible. It's called the Passion Translation. And I don't know a lot about it, but I really like the way some of these things are phrased. And here it says, now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. What? You know when you just get sometimes a word will come to you and you think, whoa, I got that one. That's going to, it might be a scripture verse, it might be a quote that you read, it might be something somebody says to you in a conversation, but you just get a hold of it. It's like, oh, that's good. I'm gonna keep that. I love that. And then the third one I want to show you is, this is out of The Voice. I've used The Voice several times. By the way, there's websites that have all this. The one my personal preference is called Bible Gateway, and it's got a drop-down screen. You can see all the, and then there's another one that's got more obscure ones. It's called Study Bible Info, and that's where I get the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament and the Concordant Literal Version. But here in The Voice it says, to take a fresh breath and to let God renew your attitude and spirit. I love that. I just love this verse, and I love turning that diamond and let the light hit different facets of it. I think I have one more. This is the International Standard Version. I love that one. The International ISV says, to be renewed in your mental attitude. I know it sounds cliche, but I'm telling you, baby, attitude is everything. That's why I'm not joking when I said don't complain about the heat and the humidity, because all it does is makes you hotter and more humid. It just makes you more miserable. Either change it or move to a different climate or something, because there are certain realities. It's like people that, if you'll notice, and I don't, allergy people, don't get mad at me, but if you deal with allergies in the springtime, I'm telling you, the more you, I would use a different phrase if I weren't teaching, the more you gripe and moan about the pollen, the worse it's going to be for you. And I see people who spiral downward every year. Every year it's worse, and they predict it. It's like, oh no, here comes pollen season. I hate this time of year. And I'm like, you know you're snaring yourself by the words of your mouth. I'm not saying it's not irritating. I'm just saying you're creating your own reality. And because the earth is revolving, I don't care what the flat earth people say, they're idiots, the earth is revolving, and it's going to be springtime again and again and again and again, and the trees have to mate, or otherwise they can't reproduce, so you've got to let them get a room for a minute and do their thing, because that's what keeps us alive. Because as aggravating as the pollen is, if there wasn't pollen, there wouldn't be any trees. If there weren't any trees, there wouldn't be us. We wouldn't have any oxygen without the trees. So when you walk out and there's green stuff all over your car, you ought to say, thank God I'm alive. And take a deep breath. If you need to go take some Zyrtec or something, take it. But stop complaining about it. Just if you have to take some medicine, then at least take it with faith and say, this is going to help me, and maybe this time next year I'm not even going to have to take it. I'm telling you, it's the changing of your thoughts. I'm going to share something with you in just a moment, but I'm trying to move quickly. I've shared the story with you before about Jesus with the man at the pool of Bethesda. And it says, he goes to the man and he says, what's going on with you? And he says, well, I am lame or crippled, whatever he said. And there was an urban legend back then that an angel would come and trouble the water, and the waters became healing. And you had to be there just in that little window of time. Whoever got in there first would get healed. It probably wasn't true. It's just that's what people believed. So this man had this story down. Don't we all have a story? Well, I haven't been able to walk, and every time the angel comes to trouble the water, I don't have anybody here to put me in the water. So that's why I stay with the lack of ability to walk. And Jesus said to him, well, I'm going to start hanging out with you more, so the next time the angel comes, I can get you into the water as soon as possible, and let's just keep our fingers crossed that maybe you'll get healed that day. Isn't that what Jesus said? No, Jesus didn't even acknowledge the man's story. In other words, he said, you've been telling that story for 35 years. And he says, well, stretch forth your hand. And it wasn't that he was being indifferent to the man's story. It's that he says, your story has locked you in. The story may even be true. It's just the fact that you keep telling it, it keeps victimizing you. I keep wanting to tell Facebook people this. I just want to say, look, I understand the seduction of wanting to rant about something. And I'm not above it. I've ranted a couple times myself. But let me tell you something. As soon as you rant about something, even if your point is completely right, once you put that out there in the universe, and then you've got all these people that you call friends on Facebook that get into agreement with you and start doing comments helping you with the rant, all you've done is energized the thing that you're ranting about. There's a reason why the scripture says, call those things which are not as though they are. Because every time you tell that story, even if that story is true, every time you tell your sad tale of victimization, even though it may be absolutely true, you are locked into the reality of that story. And so you keep seeing it and saying it and seeing it, and it just creates this cycle of manifestation that it's perpetual motion. God has nothing to do with it at this point. You're continuing to create your reality. and you're holding all things together by the word of your power. I'm not saying that you can't, like if I say, what were you in the hospital for? You can give an answer for that. You can say, I was in the hospital for so-and-so. But I do believe I'm coming through this thing, and I've got a good doctor, and I'm making certain changes. You can answer the question without locking yourself into a negative reality. Yeah, I'm here right now, but I'm going to get better. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get this weight off. I'm going to get this blood pressure down. I'm going to get this whatever it is. Prophesy your own resurrection. Jesus said, I'll be in the heart of the earth for 3 days, but I'll be back. I'm not telling you to go home and flush your medicine down the toilet and say, Bishop said, if I just think a different thought, no, it's not that easy. And it takes a while to start changing the way that you think. What I'm saying is keep your realities. I had my checkup the other day, and everything was, I love when they call back from the lab work, and like, your cholesterol's great, PSA's great, everything's great, blah, blah's great. I wasn't taking blood pressure meds, and I thought, oh, please get me off of this because I've lost weight. And he said, let me see you back in a month. And we talked about some things. He said, are you drinking a lot of caffeine? And I said, oh, yeah. I mean, I have so much caffeine intake, I can drink a venti iced coffee at bedtime and go to sleep. So I clearly have it in my system. And he said, well, caffeine can spike your blood pressure. I said, say no more. A month from now, when I'll be back. And if I go in, whenever I'm going, if the number's still not where it's going to be, where it needs to be, I'm like, I'm not going to be defeated through this thing. Because my goal, and you may say I'm a dreamer. My goal is, as I get older, I want to be weaned off of everything. Like some people say, well, when you get older, all you do is take medicines. Well, that's fine if you're on that journey. My journey is the opposite way. When I see, when I see one of these people that's 103 years old and they say, well, I've been a vegetarian since 1950, I'm like, I'm listening. Tell me some more. Because there's a bunch of stuff that red meat will do to you that doctors are more than happy to medicate you for. As much as, look, I love ribs, I love a good steak now and then, but if it's gonna affect my health, I'm like, well, then tell me what's gonna make things better. What, a nice little vegetable plate? I'm good with that. I like vegetables anyway. Well, I'm gonna eat my steak. Well, that's fine. Eat your steak, and we'll take care of you and change your diapers when you're older. But the rest of us are gonna be getting younger and healthier and getting down to the size we're supposed to be. And every time we go to the doctor's going to say, well, I don't know what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. I love when a doctor says that. Because he was impressed. He even asked, he said, well, who's your trainer? I was giving him a free advertisement. But he said, your numbers aren't there yet. He said, but I think they can be. I'm like, I'll see you in a month. Yeah. What she says, they secretly wish everybody would like. I don't believe doctors are totally in it for the money. I think most doctors and teachers, most public servants really went into it because they wanted to help people. I don't think you could stand the rigors of medicine if you didn't have some kind of calling on it, because it's got to be. I know they're paid well, but it is a difficult profession. So I don't want to be suspect of doctors. Now I will say this, and I'm talking too much. I do think if you're trying to do the health way and go with natural stuff, doctors they swim in a different stream. They're used to prescribing a medicine. So don't go quote a nutritionist to a doctor, because he's going to say that's nonsense. And you go to a nutritionist, he's going to say that your doctor is a quack that's just in it for the money and wants to medicate you. So you have to be smart. Look, there's a reason why Jesus said don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You don't have to tell all your business. Go to the health food store and take your CoQ10 and all that kind of stuff, and then go to your doctor and say, I'm doing everything you told me to do. Why not make all of it work for you? I was so happy. When I saw the doctor's name came up, I put that on speakerphone, and she was just going right down the list of all the, this checked out, this checked out, this checked out, that's good. I'm like, yay, 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 yay. Got one little thing we got to work on. I got it. It was the week that Sammy had transitioned. So I said, could it have anything to do with that? Because I've just been through something really stressful yesterday. He said it could be, but whatever. But so on the way over there that day, I didn't even watch the news that morning because I thought that's going to stress me out. And I was listening to spa music. I was breathing deeply. I was just waiting for him to say, oh, my God, what are you doing? Well, he hasn't said it yet, but by God, he's going to say it. I'm going to keep going until I finally get it down. He'll say, you need to teach a seminar on lowering blood pressure. This is in the Amplified Classic. It says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. I've noticed sometimes there'll be a thought that I think, what is that still doing in there? I'll be mid-conversation thinking, and maybe this is the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But have you ever been in the middle of telling some sad tale that you've told before and you just feel this check? Like, really? Are we really going here again? We're really going to tell this one more time? Because all you're going to get is somebody feeling sad for you for a moment. They can't change it. And all you did was reinforce the reality. I love this, a fresh mental attitude. Was it Patti LaBelle that sang, I got a new attitude? And the whole thing was, you know, she had a new hair, and I don't know what else, she had a new wig. What is Patti? It's got to be in her 70s. I saw her the other day, she's still kicking off her pumps and singing high. And well, she must still have a new attitude. Yeah, she did lose a lot of weight. Controls it. Good. This is in the concordant literal version. It says, and then to be continuously renewed or from time to time or progressively made young again. What? By or in or with the spirit or attitude or breath effect of your mind or from the mind which is you. You are your mind. Your body is a manifestation of your thoughts. To be made new again. To be made young again. Woo! Nothing's better than somebody guessing your age and they guess. Usually people guess me much younger than I am. I love that look of shock on their face when I say, no, I just had a milestone birthday. They don't guess as young as 40, but most people say 50. They usually shave a decade off. And I love when they're stupefied. And that way, why do you see me at 70? I already told you, I saw me at 70, and my reflection winked at me. And I looked good. I was like, wow, who's that hot old guy? Now I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, and then we'll get to the meditation. Then I'll have, I think, one more I want to show you. Well, let me go and wrap this up. Dispenza has this quote. It says, can you accept the notion that once you change your internal state, you don't need the external world to provide you with a reason to feel joy or gratitude or appreciation or any other elevated emotion? Now, that's a journey we're all on. Can you get to the place like where David was, where he could encourage himself in the Lord? And let me tell you something. We're going to meditate in a minute. David was all about meditation. He's the one that said, in his law does he meditate day and night. Psalm 4, commune with your own heart upon your bed. Even the 23rd Psalm is a meditation. It's all about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That sounds like a meditation weekend. And David knew this way to encourage himself. You know the story about when he came back from Ziklag and all the people had been kidnapped and killed and his own staff turned on him and they had burned down the city and it says he sat down on a heap of ashes and began to encourage himself. That's what Psalm 103 is, bless the Lord, O my soul. Or at one time, because David probably dealt with some bipolar issues, and that's why he would say things like, Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance. Like, he knew how to talk himself up. Just something as simple as this morning, that, you know, that Bose thing that I used on the beach with the meditation music. This morning I thought, I need to listen to some music. I mean, I wasn't sad or anything. I just need that little extra oomph. And the first thing I put on was Bill Withers singing Lovely Day. I didn't even know that was on my, I hit it. It was like, gonna be a lovely, lovely day. Lovely day. I was brushing my teeth. Lovely day. Got too far in there. But I thought that's how you raise your vibration. And just automatically, just doing that, it already set the course for my day. This is what I would share with you, and then I'm going to shut up, and we're going to get quiet. The other night I was searching through Netflix. Netflix is very interesting. These other things like Hulu and Netflix, even YouTube, it's just a, I don't know why I pay such a big cable bill, because I end up watching these other, I don't even watch the channels that are available to me. But I was seeing what's on Netflix. They have an interesting, eclectic group of things. And there's an illusionist, magician, whatever, named Darren Brown. He's a British guy. And I've watched, you know, I've seen illusionists. I've seen, you know, David Copperfield. I mean, back in the day, I took my parents to Las Vegas, and we saw Siegfried and Roy before the accident, and we're 10 feet away from a lion. I mean, you could smell the tiger, and he would make him disappear, and then an elephant would appear, and like, there's no trap door. I don't know, like, what did I just see? So I'm used to being astounded at things, and some of these illusionists they have now, it's just, I don't know how in the world, like David Blaine, some of these, like, how in the world could they have done that? And but this guy, I saw the clip of it, and he said, I'm going to show you what, I said, I've been to some of the, he didn't say charismatic, but they were clearly charismatic churches. I'm going to show you what some of these faith healers do and show you how it works. And I thought, I'm not ready to see this. That's going to mess with my head. But then a couple of nights later, I thought, no, I want to watch this. So I watched the first part of it. And the first part of it is, it's illusion stuff, and some of it, it's really creepy, like, you know, chewing glass and things like that, that I'm like, I don't know how you're doing it, but this is not entertaining. But then he got to the part, and just stay with me here for a minute, he got to the part where he said, I've gone to several of these churches. He's talking about one of the churches in Fort Worth. I'm pretty sure I know who he was talking about. And he says, let me just show you what they do. And he said, now, I'm an atheist, but he said, I want to show you how this works. And at first I thought, oh man, are you going to really, is this going to be oppressive? Because I don't know if you remember this guy, the Amazing Randy. He was the guy that would go around and debunk faith healers. He's the one that exposed Peter Popoff for having getting the word of knowledge through an earpiece and stuff like that. So I thought, I don't want to, some atheist trying to prove his anti-God point, just, that doesn't make me happy. Like, I don't enjoy that. But something in me said, no, just hear him out. Keep watching. So he begins to say, like, I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I want to bring the anointing in. I want to bring the presence of God in this place. I was like, whoa, what am I about to see? Because I'm not used to these guys knowing catchphrases like the anointing and that kind of stuff. You know, usually when it's somebody's doing like a takeoff on a preacher or something, I think, you don't even know what you're talking about. That's not even the way they talk. But this guy, you could tell, knew the lingo. And it didn't feel like he was making a mockery. He created an atmosphere. He said, we're just going to raise our hands right now and worship you, Lord. And God is great. And God is the healer. And he's in this place. And I thought, oh, man, this is tripping me out. Well, he starts giving words of knowledge to people about healing. And these are people, you could tell they're not plants in the audience. People are literally getting healed. It's like being in a Benny Hinn meeting. He goes to this woman, he says, you've got a back, your lower back, and you know, some of those are just, I could probably say lower back trouble for everybody. That would probably be everybody on some level, because, you know, we all do. But he would touch them, they would fall under the power. He spoke in tongues. He did this thing where he brought this woman over, and he says, now I'm gonna speak in tongues, and he starts whatever. It didn't sound like what I'm used to hearing somebody speaking in tongues, but it was his gibberish language or whatever. And he says, I'm going to pray that you get the gift of interpretation. And so he laid hands on her. She didn't fall, but everybody else did. And he gave her a piece of paper. He said, I want you to do automatic writing. He said, just start saying whatever comes, just write whatever you feel. So she's on the paper. She's just making scribbles, just circle, 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 circle. And he says, who are you praying for that needs a healing? And she said, his name is Chris. He puts a candle under the paper. It burns, and Chris hernia comes up on there. And I'm like, well, now that I've never seen in a Benny Hinn meeting. Like, you just took that very, very next level. And then he, this one guy comes, he says, you're a skeptic, aren't you? And he said, yeah. And he says, I'm gonna give you a demon that's going to keep you from being able to read. So he says, I give you this demon. So then he puts this thing in front of this guy, and the guy can't read it. Then he says, I command the demon to come out, and then he could read. It's just like crazy stuff like that. So again, I'm watching this, and it's late at night, so I'm like, am I dreaming this? Or this is really strange, but it's not oppressing me. I'm just curious what he's going to say about it. Let's see, was that everything? Yeah. So we got through. I mean, he's praying for people. I mean, at least, I don't know, 7 or 8 people that he, just how Benny Hinn will have somebody come up and they tell what they were healed of. These people would say, I had this pain when I came in here, but now it's gone, and blah, blah, blah. So, and he's also doing it. A couple times he's doing a spoof on preachers being in for the money, because he would show a video of, now that I've healed you, you know, here's the credit card. So he's making his statement about preachers and money. Old stereotype. That really wasn't his main point. When he got through, he said, now let me tell you what just happened. He said, I created an atmosphere by, what I said. But he said, it's not the power of God that heals you, it's the power of us. And when he said that, I thought, tell me more. Because here's the thing. If you have a conventional idea that God's the healer, that God's going to get up off his throne and touch you and heal you, that's all well and good. But also know there are a lot of people who didn't get that touch. So for every person that's giving a great testimony, I mean, my dad brought Catherine Kuhlman to Atlanta twice. One right down the street here, I remember. I saw people come up off stretchers and out of wheelchairs, but I also saw hundreds of wheelchairs go home and be put back in the van. So not everybody gets it, and that was always the question. Why doesn't everybody get healed? And you can't help but think, well, why did that person get healed and I didn't? And we've all been down that road. We've all done the faith message, and you didn't have enough faith and all that kind of stuff. But when he said that, it made me think about Jesus going into his hometown, and he couldn't do mighty miracles because the people said, is not that Joseph the carpenter's son? Do you know why that affected him? Because when he was in his hometown, he felt like Joseph the carpenter's son. Had nothing to do with the power of God. It was the perception of the people. So because they didn't respect him. Now, he could go other places, and he was Jesus of Nazareth, the healer, and the lame would walk, and the blind would see. He goes to his hometown, and they're like, we have his sisters here with us. Who does this guy think he is? And they suck the power right out of him. I'm at a place now, and I think I've told you this before, but I think it's the last time that I did a series of tapings of In the Now. I did it next door here, and Charles and BJ and Avery helped me. I had a group of people. Doc was a part of it. People came in, and I think we shot 7 or 8 episodes, maybe more. And I wanted Rutherford to be there, because for whatever you say about him, he does have some amazing insights. And I really wanted to be there, and he called me the day before, and he said, look, I don't know. He said, I'm in Waco. We've had car trouble. He told me all these obstacles. He said, I don't know that I'm going to be able to get there tomorrow. He said, I just don't see how it's going to work out. And I said, you're Robert Rutherford. You'll figure out a way to get here. Well, when we started, he comes walking in. I said, how'd you get here? He said, as soon as you said that, everything just fell into place. Now, I could have said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you bringing my brother Robert Rutherford and his car trouble to you. I pray that somehow in your wisdom, that I could tell you, I didn't believe that was going to make any difference with him. That's, you know what that is? That's Christianese that people have said over and over again, and people say they're agreeing in prayer. They're really not. They're just saying stuff. I can tell that people, I think Doc even posted this. Didn't he post something yesterday about you can't pray the prayer of faith twice? I think he did. And his point was, if you pray it one time, you believe you receive it. You can't, it's not a prayer of faith if you keep going back for it. I thought, oh, right. And I know over the years, I can't, not in Metron, but I can't tell you how many times at the church, somebody would come to me afterwards and say, I need you to pray about the situation. And I would pray, I'd plead the blood, I'd pull up, I'd pull down, I'd pluck up, I'd take authority, I'd do everything you're supposed to do. Pray in English and in tongues. I'd do it all. And I'd say, in the name of Jesus, and you clasp their hands. Amen. And they would go right back into the story. Like, well, and so then I told her, she said so-and-so, and I'm like, what the hell did I just do? Like, you clearly, not only weren't listening, you certainly don't believe it. I don't even think you were listening. I don't even think you have the courtesy to think that I was making any kind of connection, even if you didn't believe it. Why wouldn't you just respect me enough to say, well, you know, maybe I can't get through, maybe Bishop can. Why would you at least give me that? It's like it didn't need, like you were waiting for me to shut up so you could go right back into that same old tired story. And I got to tell you, at a certain point, I just got tired of doing that. When people say, pray so-and-so, I'm like, really? Well, what exactly are we praying for? Now I'm going to tell you something that this may shock you. I do not spend hours of time every day shut away in prayer. I don't. And I haven't for years. I used to. I used to go to the church at 6 o'clock in the morning. We pray in the Spirit for an hour. I fasted every Wednesday. I would do, you know, I did all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying you get to a point where you just wonder, how much of this is really making a difference? How much of it is really making a dent in what actually happens? What I have seen is people who I have a real connection with, on more than one occasion, somebody on a deathbed, I'd say, you know what? I'm not ready for you to go. I don't want you to go. Some of y'all remember the story I told about Jane Smith, who she finally did transition, but it was like 20 years later. But she was, if anybody loved me, it was Jane. You think you love me, Jane loved me more. And she just did. Whatever I said, that was it for her. Her family thought she was in a cult. She had kidney failure. You can't believe all the stuff that happened in one day. They had to cut her jugular vein. All these things that should have taken her out by that night. I went to see her, and her first word is, what are you doing here? I said, what am I doing here? You're in ICU. She goes, oh, well. And you could tell she was kind of giving up. Like, this may be the end of the rope for me. And I said, Jane, I could pray for you, but this is what I'm going to do. I said, if there's anything I've ever asked you to do that you refuse to do, she goes, no, I would do anything you tell me. I said, then I'm telling you not to die. I said, I'm going to go so far as to say, if you go ahead and die, you're in rebellion to your pastor. She was out that day. That night, she was at church. It was like people saw a ghost. Like, how are you? And she said, well, Bishop told me I couldn't die. Well, and the connection that we had, It wasn't about this. It was about that. It was the power of us. You could have told her not to die and she would have flatlined. Now, not everybody is mature enough to understand that. Other people say, well, you prayed for me, it didn't work. Yeah, because you sat around and gossiped about me and said all kind of crap about me so that when I did speak a word to you, it didn't have any authority with you. It doesn't work that way. You can't say all this stuff and send me hateful emails and you know about what you don't like about what I preach and then expect me to have a power. You've taken my power away to help you. I think it's safe to say in her lifetime, Jane probably never said a negative thing about me ever one time. So that when I said, you're not going to die, I don't want you to die, she didn't. Now, there's other people have other issues. If I had had a chance with Sammy, the same thing would have happened. I didn't have that chance. Do you know what I mean? So Sammy's at peace. I've had to let that go because I know he loved me that much. And I'm not saying I'm the healer. I'm saying we're the healer. So I don't spend all this time praying. Just something as simple as last night. I know this seems small, but Ken said, I'd really like Mexican food. I said, well, let's go to La Fonda. That's fine. They've got that. They got a salmon salad I like there. It's good. Got artichoke hearts on it. I love it. There's no place to park at La Fonda on weekdays, especially not on a Saturday night. We're driving there. I said, I need a parking space. And I don't want to park blocks away. I want a parking space in the parking lot at La Fonda. We drive in. Person drives around. I said, thank you. I didn't claim it in the name of Jesus. I just had this connection. That's one thing that they were right about in Bruce Almighty. You have to become the prayer. I'm not telling you to watch this thing with Darren Brown. It might mess with your head. For me, it didn't make me feel oppressed. It made me understand how the power of God works and why people need connections and why agreement is not a prayer. It's you going to somebody that you have a connection with to say, I need you to agree with me for this situation. You go, I got it. And you don't have to say a bunch of stuff. It's like, I agree with you. This thing is going to work out. And then you just know it. That's all I got. Did you get anything out of this today? All right. Let's maybe do a 10-minute one. If you've never meditated with us before, you're not going to become a Buddhist. Just relax. Jesus is okay with meditation. We're gonna bring the lights down. Everybody, please put both feet flat on the floor. And empty your lap, take away any of your obstructions, put your cell phone down. Meditation's mostly about breathing. Sit up as straight as you can. I don't know why, but there's something about posture that really makes a difference with this. People that sit on the ground do a lotus position. You can do it right where you're sitting. But when you sit up straight, it just automatically brings you into a place of relaxation. Charles, whatever music you got, just go ahead and start that. We're going to start with breathing. You're going to breathe in through your nose. Hold it. You're going to breathe out through your mouth. When you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, you get nitrous oxide into your muscles and your lungs. Breathe in. We're also connected. It's not going to take you long to get there. You'll be there in about 3 or 4 breaths. Mostly you want to concentrate on your breathing. Don't worry about your thoughts. Just let them play out. But you want to get to a place where you're just not thinking anything. Just become conscious of your breathing. Thank you. that I just spoke, meditation's going to help it take root in you. The reason David would use the word Selah, it was a time for a musical interlude for the listener to meditate on his words. So we're going to meditate. Some of you are going to get a rhema word through your meditation. In a moment, you're going to be weaned off my voice. We're just going to go right into breathing. Most of you are already there. You're relaxed. You're at peace. Your breathing is consistent. the elders of the church anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. We're talking about the power of us. Make contact, connect with the spirit of the person next to you. It didn't take us long to get there today. We're just going to leave the lights down. Let me share this one thing with you. I wanted to wait till after the meditation to say it. At the end of this thing that I watched on Netflix, after he talked about the power of us, he said, "Now let me tell you about the power of the individual." He said, every one of these people who came up here and received a healing received it for this one reason. They changed their story. And I thought, you know what? I could sit through watching you chew glass or whatever crazy stuff you did to hear that. I'm challenging you. Change the internal monologue that goes on inside your head that keeps you limited. Tell yourself a different story. Because whatever story you're hearing in here, that's what's manifesting. That's what's the reason the voice spoke out of heaven to Jesus, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We all need that affirmation. Jesus could heal people because he believed what that voice told him. We believe that the voice of God. What you tell yourself in here, manifest. We got to close. I told you this before, but it makes my point. Colonel Rogers went to high school with Bette Midler. Your dad was stationed in Hawaii, and that's when, right? And her dad worked for the Dole Pineapple Company. He's got an annual with her picture in there. She said that when they lived in Hawaii, they were so poor they only had one mirror in the house, and it was a full-length mirror, and it was cracked in the middle, so it distorted the way everybody looked. She said, "My whole life, I thought I was like a long-legged, thin girl that looked like a showgirl." She says, "Until I came to New York and saw myself on video, it occurred to me, oh, you're a short, heavy-set Jewish woman." But she said, "My whole life, I just thought I was this leggy supermodel." And she says, "But that's what worked for me. The reason I had the chutzpah to go become what I became is because that was what I believed on the inside." And I thought, that's a very interesting concept. Somebody can preach the Bible to you until the pages fall out. Until you believe something in here, and especially in here, nothing's going to change for you. And the greatest thing is, we all have the power to change our story. Did you enjoy meditation today? Well, that's good. By the time, this will get stronger all this month, and by the time we get to the first weekend in August, it's going to be transformational. Let's all stand. Good stuff today. Bring the lights back up. Wellington, come here. Come down here. Where are you going to speak today? Come here. First of all, I want you to notice how clean Wellington is with his suit that he got. I said he was in Africa the day. He wasn't. His sister got married in London. That's where he just, look at him with his British suit on. What? And you're going to speak somewhere today?
I speak a blessing over each and every one here. I just pray that God continue to order our steps in his word. And we thank God for Bishop. And I thank God for every one of you. I pray you go in peace, be blessed, and be a blessing to someone. Amen.